Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Jeff Erickson. Today is Thursday, April 8th. My co-host today is Micah Henry. You can catch Mike in a lot of places. First of all, on Twitter at FantasyCentral1. Micah does work for Fantrax. He does work for New Life Fantasy. You can hear him on the One Fantasy Insider podcast. Also at FantasyBallUni1. Micah, you're at a lot of places. How you doing, man?
I am in a lot of places. That's true. But yeah, I'm doing well. I'm hanging in there. The weather's getting nicer. Baseball's back. School's almost over. Ready to just focus on, you know, straight up baseball content for the next few months.
Awesome. Life is good. I love it. Mm-hmm. And all these day games, it's great for me as someone who gets to work on this and works from home, no less. That reinforcement every single day. There's something going on. The only thing is you have to stay on top of things, setting your lineups, especially in daily leagues.
Yeah, it's honestly kind of, I don't know, I missed a couple lineup setups just because I woke up a little too late that time. So I'm just like, it's like 12 o'clock and the game's already on. I'm just like, all right, darn it. But, you know, you just got to deal with it.
It's all part of the process. I wake up at 12 o'clock.
It won't last for long. It'll be over soon.
Enjoy while it lasts. First rule of college is to never leave, I'm told. But let's jump right into it. Lots of news. We'll start all sorts of closer news going on. Starting with Oakland, Trevor Rosenthal got placed on the 60-day IL. Not just he got moved to the 60-day IL. He was already in the 10-day one. He's getting a second opinion. Looks like it might be thoracic outlet syndrome. Horrible stuff. Not too many pitchers come back from this, and it kind of came out of nowhere too. I heard no rumblings about this in spring training.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of disappointing just because he was like, you know, people were taking him within the 10th round, you know, in the preseason because he was going to be the closer. But he did have, you know, some injury history in the past. So, I mean, there was a little, a healthy amount of risk, but still, it's you don't want to see it. Yeah. It's not fun.
I think at one point I had him as like my closer number five, albeit with the notion that I'm either going super heavy up top or I'm waiting in that tier. Usually I'm not getting him. I did choose Kenley Jansen over him in one opportunity in NFBC main event. That one's kind of looking pretty mediocre too, but we'll get to that. Who do you have closing for Oakland now? Who's your favorite?
Honestly, it's kind of hard because they have a couple. Romo and Diekman are guys that have, you know, been in the league for a few years now, so they might just go to, you know, the experience route. Then you have the guy with JB Wendelken. He's still around and he's not bad. He's solid. So I mean, there's a couple. I feel it's gonna be a committee. That's what I think. It's gonna be, you know, them just going at it situationally. You know, whatever feels best, we'll just go that way.
It'd
that
be
day.
Nice if they actually had a safe situation. They haven't come close to that yet. Did rally for their first win. Had to do it in extra innings, but they were behind in the ninth, and that's because Kenley Jansen blew the save. And he's off to kind of a shaky start. Had an awesome spring. And people are like, okay. People being me, I was like, okay, everything, all's well. You know, whatever problems he had in the playoffs, that's past him. His velocity was back up a little bit. The results were really good. And then he's got like a 1-4 K to walk right now, and that's never great. Blew the save yesterday against the slumping A's team.
Yeah, I looked into this. I was like, what's going on with this, command or control or whatever's going on? And it's cutter. He can't really – it wasn't locating his cutter well. So I don't know if that's just, you know, early season woes. But, I mean, it feels like he has a shorter leash this year than he had in past seasons just because of the other guys behind him in Blake Trenian, Corey Knebel, Victor Gonzalez, these guys. And, you know, I think Radwell's hurt. I'm not sure. I forget what's happening with him. But they have him, too, whenever he's healthy. So, I mean, they have some guys that could get the job done if he's not doing the job. So, yeah. Definitely not secure.
Crazy that they're deep, despite not having Gratterall or Joe Kelly to start the season. It's just they just got all these redundancies built in. But, you know, that cutter has been his bread and butter for so long. You know, if you're having trouble with your main pitch, that seems problematic to me.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not. I think he still has a job going forward, but I'm not as happy about it as I would be in like 2018 or like 2019 or something.
Yeah, that's right. I'm with you on that one there. And just to reinforce his usage, his cutter last year, he threw it 60% of the time. So 62% of the time, in fact. Yeah. And, you know, that he goes to that quite a bit. He actually got slightly better results last year with the sinker than not even slightly. He got better results with the sinker than he did with the cutter. But then again, you throw a pitch 60% of the time, probably, you know, I get that you're going to just have a little bit more variance in results.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another blown save. We'll keep on going here. Today, Anthony Bass blew a save. Jeff McNeil took him deep to tie the game in the ninth, and then he loaded the bases, and then ended in a cheesy hit-by-pitch by Michael Conforto, where he pretty clearly leaned into the strike zone to get hit by a slider. But nonetheless, it's not been a good start for Bass. He blew the save for his first opportunity, later kind of struggled in another opportunity with a nine-save situation. Now he blew this one. Are you on Yimi Garcia or anybody else in that Marlins pen?
I am on Yimi Garcia. I actually have a couple of shares. I'm not just saying this because I have a couple of shares. I actually like the guy. You know, yeah. I think he's probably arguably maybe next to Floro, but he's one of the most talented guys in that bullpen. I think if he gets the opportunity, he'll convert most of the saves. And I feel like they wanted this to give, you know, get anything they could out of Bass. And, you know, to start, he's blown two saves in a row. So I don't think at this point they're like, all right, let's see what else we got in this bullpen.
Yeah, it's almost like they kind of go for the veteran, I don't care, we just won't pay him next year plan, because they don't want the talented younger guy to pile up saves because it's going to cost them an arbitration. I mean, it worked out fine with Kinsler last year. Had mediocre skills, but got the job done. And then they just let him go instead of paying him. It's almost like that's kind of built in a little bit as far as their team building goes.
Looks like they tried to do the same thing with Bass, but I mean, Kinsler, at least he, you know, generated, you know, a good amount of soft contact, a lot of ground balls. But Bass seems to be, you know, just kind of all over the place right now. So he might be a different story.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately for him, and unfortunately for those who took a stab on Bass, went fishing for saves with him. Okay, first bad pun of the podcast, won't be the last, I promise. But Yimi Garcia is interesting because K to walk is amazing. But he gives up homers every once in a while. And that's the thing that kind of worries me a little bit. When he gives up contact, it's hard contact.
I mean, yeah. I feel like there are a few closers in that, you know, that type of category that give up maybe too many fly balls or too much loud contact. But they also have this good, you know, good strikeout stuff, like, you know, thinking Kimbrough, guys like that. So, I mean, we'll see if he can limit the hard contact. But I'm confident he'll be able to do so going forward.
All right, yeah, and I did pick him up a couple places, have him in one draft Champions League, actually had him active this week. Now we just got to see him get a chance to get those chances, though, so we'll see what happens with that. Marlins are off to a tough start. 1-6 now. I have Sandy Alcantara in a lot of places. I used Pablo Lopez in DFS yesterday, and there's just no margin for error for those guys right now. If they're not perfect, they can't get a win.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. I mean, I'm a Phillies fan. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, say I'm sorry. I feel sorry for these guys. Well, I mean, I do like the Marlins as a team. I like their talent. I want to see them, you know, do. And yeah, it's not just the pitching talent on the Marlins. I like the bats too. They have Marte. They have, you know, the young guys, Chisholm, who is arguably was my favorite, you know, preseason late round type middle infield bat. And just, you know, a lot of young guys who seem to like they can do, you know, some damage if they get the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I think they're fun. They're definitely fun. I have Alcantara in six leagues. So he was my most drafted pitcher, as a matter of fact. So I'm, except I don't have him in either NFBC main event league, which is kind of a real bummer. And then the other thing here too is with them though, it's like, yeah, they have more coming out the way, you know. But you know, Sixto Sanchez is hurt, Eliezer Hernandez is hurt, Garcia is coming up at some point. They drafted a few other great pitching prospects coming up on the way, so there's a lot of fun. But that's kind of the problem with building around a young pitching staff too, is, you know, those young hard throwers get hurt a lot.
Yeah, and honestly, it's always those, you know, arm, shoulder injuries, and then they're out for like a month or two. It delays their development, delays the Marlins' success, of course. So, but I mean, at least we see guys like Sandy, you know, healthy and just, you know, doing their thing and getting better and better every start, you know.
Exactly. Injuries are starting to, you know, rear their ugly head. Earlier this week, a lot of talk was about Fernando Tatis Jr. Padres have said that he doesn't need surgery, right? You know, and looks like he could be back as soon as 10 days or 2 weeks. I'm skeptical.
Me too.
Especially because he's had the injury before, and I just figure, like, you know, every time he slides, I'm going to be cringing. Every time he swings hard, he's got that violent swing. I'm worried about it there.
And honestly, it's just scary hearing that this has been around for a few years. Just like, what does that even mean? Because I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything about this type of stuff. But what does it mean when a guy just has this recurring injury in the same spot year after year? Will it get worse? Like, naturally? I don't know. It's just kind of ominous. It's an ominous discovery with the shoulder. But
It is. You can skew it both ways. One, he's like, oh, he's been able to play through it all this time. Two, he hasn't been as forthcoming about it. He hasn't really talked about, you know, how much it's really hurting him and that it's a problem. I mean, I get it. There's a lot at stake for young players, you know, especially Tatis. He was in a contract negotiation, for crying out loud. I mean, I get that there. You don't want to be saying, hey, it's really bad. I don't think he's trying to, you know, defraud the Padres or anything like that. But I think it's also natural for a player to want to stay in the lineup. And that's one of those things where you're kind of like, let's – you know, it's kind of scary to deal with that.
And honestly, you think about it, you're just like, logically, you're like, the best bet may just be to get surgery just to eliminate any chance of this having a negative impact on the future. But as you said, he wants to stay in the lineup. He wants to keep playing the games. Because, I mean, he just signed the contract. So, I mean, but I don't know. I want to see him play, but I don't want to see him play and then get hurt again, that type of thing. So I really hope he just does whatever he thinks is best. The doctors do whatever they think is best for his future, not just, you know, what's happening right now.
Yeah, that's right. If you're in a trading league, are you and you have him on your roster, are you thinking about trading, or are you thinking, all right, I'm just going to wait this out?
If it's dynasty, you know, I'm holding him. But if it's redraft, it depends on what I can get back for him. You know, if I can get somebody to give back equal value somehow, some way, sure, I'll do it. But I don't think I don't know. I don't have any shares. I haven't really thought about that, but. I don't know. I'm lying. I do have a share. I have a share in the CBS Analyst League. I'm sorry about that. Okay. But yeah, I do have to think about that. But I don't know. I don't know. I had to think about that one. I'm not sure.
I don't have him anywhere. I'm in 17 leagues and I don't have him anywhere. It's not like I was trading him either. I either was drafting late. He was already, you know, obviously already kept in any sort of keeper league, I think there was one other. I had one early draft slot and I took Acuña instead. That's it. That's the list. I didn't really have too many opportunities to go out and get them. So it goes. I'm not claiming any sort of special brilliance in knowing that he was, you know, get hurt. He plays so reckless. He's missed time. I wasn't the guy saying that. So I just got lucky so far.
I was going a little off topic here in regards to draft spots. I was in the same boat. I didn't really have any, you know, early round draft picks, so I didn't really have a lot of chances at Tatis. And the one share I have of him, I got him in the auction league. So, I mean, I just never really had, you know, the opportunity to get him. So I'm not really, you know, I'm not really complaining about it, but I'm content with not having to deal with that problem right now, unfortunately.
I like drafting in the middle this year in snake drafts. The one league where I drafted early was TGFBI. I had the two slot. Typically, I was drafting, you know, I drafted six in one main event, and typically after that, it was like eighth or later in most other leagues. Mm,
me too. Exactly.
I liked the middle. I didn't really love late. I was 14th out of 15 in one main. I didn't love that because I feel like when you're on an end, you have to reach a little bit for, you know, either you have to make that decision. Are you going to get your guy and reach a little bit because, you know, 28 picks are going by and you're not going to get them? Or do you kind of just rate it out? Whereas in the middle, I think you can get your bargains a little bit better.
100%. And given my personal, you know, wanting to get the closer early, it always works when you're in the middle. You just grab them and start like to start the closer run or end the closer run, something like that. Yep. You can always, you know, kind of control the board a little bit there.
Yeah. Unless you're going to like double tap closers, which I've done.
And Derek, me too.
Guy that I've seen do it before. But, you know, at the 3-4 turn, it's so early. There's so many other talented players at other positions. It's really hard to commit to that.
Super hard. Cost. It's hard, but you're like, all right, if this guy in the late rounds can break out, I'm looking good. Yeah. But there's always that big if, you know.
Well, and I guess it kind of speaks to what's your strength. Like, are you better at being the closer whisperer? Are you better at fabbing closers? Are you better at like finding starting pitchers or hitters late? I mean, it's whatever you can. And I've heard people talk about building from the back before, and that's one of the things when you're building from the back. What are you best at? Well, I'm best at, you know, starting pitchers. Well, yeah, go ahead and get that those early closers. It makes sense.
100%. Attack your strengths and, you know, work on your weaknesses, that type of thing.
Indeed. Another unfortunate injury, Ketel Marte, off to a really good start. He was in an Arizona, Arizona was in Colorado. He was the hero on Tuesday night in extra innings with that two-run double. He's been playing really well. And then he got a pretty bad hamstring injury. He's already on the IL. This one's tough. He was going to get his outfield eligibility. Doesn't have that yet. And, I thought he was going to be a really strong, solid bounce-back candidate. Now who knows how much he's going to be able to run when he comes back. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, this one's hitting me hard because I drafted him in over half of my leagues. So, I was enjoying the hot start. And, he's not going to – even when he comes back, he's probably not going to run. And he really wasn't even running much before that either. So I'm just like, it just sucks overall. But you just got to – you got to pivot now. The guys like, Donovan Solano or somebody that could be, not fancy but just, do their job.
Right. Solano's off to a heck of a start. Just carrying over from what he did last year too. He doesn't give you a lot of category juice. He doesn't run. He doesn't hit for a ton of power, but man, he just hits for average. And that Giants lineup is sneakily not that bad. It does, on its surface, you don't see. You look at their roster. You look at ADPs. There's not any stars, but they all can hit. They kind of have this long lineup.
It's like it's just a bunch of cool dudes, just a bunch of buddies just out there playing baseball. And not nobody's a big star, but just, they're doing their thing, winning games here and there. I like it.
Yeah. I have a lot of Yastrzemski. I picked up Posey and Longoria in a couple places. Slater is useful in an NL only. I don't like going the right-hander on a platoon just because you seem like you're going to lose some at-bats. But, they find ways for all these guys to play a little bit.
I agree.
All right. A couple nagging injuries to stars, unfortunately. Mookie Betts missed yesterday's game. He actually got a game of rest in Coors Field, so that's doubly annoying. They're saying he could be back tomorrow. Sure hope so. Obviously, if you spent your first-round pick on him, you don't want him missing any games. I hate these rest games 1 week into the season.
Yeah, and especially when obviously, as you said, that's your first round pick, that's your guy. You need them there to perform. If your back end guys aren't performing at the same time, you're like, all right, I need somebody to give me some production here.
Yeah, and it's a back with him. I don't think sometimes back injuries can linger, but it's not like once it heals, it's not like he's not going to run. It's not like a leg or a muscle injury that I'm like, that's going to kind of ruin one aspect of his value. So. Hopefully he'll be back on Friday. Aaron Judge, when's this ever happened? He's already missed soreness on the side. I took some chances on him. Went and got him in a few places, like took him over Springer before Springer got hurt. A few other instances there where I was going after him. Okay start, two homers, but now this side injury. He's had a problem with oblique injuries in the past.
Yeah, this is what, kind of injury prone looks like when a guy has, the same injury, year after year, when that's not really what you want to see. But it's important to note that, so now you're just like, all right, will this continue on? Will this like be one of those things that nags on? Because you've seen it in the past. I think we saw it last year with the Yankees kind of just like edging us on day after day of the updates of the injury and, adding new news every day, something different, and just kind of continued on and on. You're like, all right, when's he going to come back? And I hope that's not what's happening here, but I'm confident he'll be back soon. I hope he'll be back soon.
Yeah. And, they kind of counted. They said they were going to give him off days here and there. Same with Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, both those guys are so huge. I wonder if that's part of it, too, why they get hurt so much. It's just they're so big. There's so many places where they can get hurt.
That's what I've been thinking. I mean, they're just big guys, and they're just swinging the crap out of the bat. Yep. They constantly, batting cages do. So, I don't know. It might just be just too much to handle there with their bodies and what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right. It might just be that they're creating so much torque. I don't know. But then when they connect, it's just so amazing to watch. Stanton's ball the other day, that one got out so fast and went, it was just such a crush job. And he hits those. It's just so fun to watch.
And you know it immediately. It's not like there's no hesitation. Right. The moment it comes off the bat, you're like, all right, that's gone. And he just stands there, looks at it like a proud father or something. He's just watching the ball go out the ballpark. But yeah. you love to see it.
Don't do that to the Cardinals, though, apparently. I'm not like a Reds fan or anything, but so Joe Castellanos got that suspension. But
yeah.
I'll just throw that out there just because, hey, it's my podcast. I'll do that. We'll see what Judge. But it shows, though, why they brought back Gardner, why they kept Talkman on the active roster. They need that redundancy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And guys like Talkman, I actually like. I feel like if they gave him some opportunities, he'll be able to, you know, help. I don't know. He's a good player.
Yeah, you know? He is. He struggled last year, but he was so good in 2019. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, I got to say, they haven't gotten to the World Series, but I feel like they did a good job of team building, and they've been through so many injuries the last two seasons. All these guys have stepped up, and now, like, they've got some permanent value out of Giovanni Urshela, for instance, for nothing. I thought that they did a good job finding talent like that.
Yeah, they're great at just finding depth and always having a backup plan. That's what makes them so successful year after year.
Indeed. We saw some good starts yesterday, especially from some guys that were coming into the season a little uncertain about. Steven Strasburg finally made his debut. 6 shutout innings. They couldn't score any runs in support of him, unfortunately, but he looked good. I'll be honest, Micah, I did not draft any Strasburg this year. I have him in one keeper league, but that was pretty much locked in on him. But I was full on avoiding him this year. And for one start, I've been repudiated.
I avoided him too, but I still, I don't know. Whenever I saw his name in the draft, I just couldn't do it. Yeah. But I would, if I had to do it, I would do it. But, you know, it just never happened for me. But yeah, he looked good. He, you know, he only allowed one hit. He looked, you know, he looked like himself. Yeah. But I mean, it's all about if he just can stay healthy, you know, big if, but if he can stay healthy for, you know, the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's probably too early to take defeat laps. I mean, we always chastise people for taking victory laps. How about same thing with defeat? But another guy that got off to a good start yesterday, albeit a short one, was Jameson Taillon for the Yanks. Mm. Off of 2 Tommy Johns. He hasn't really pitched in any sort of competitive form for like 3 years. But pretty good. Not too bad for his first time out.
Yeah, I mean, he showed all his pitches, you know, got whiffs on all his pitches, most of his pitches, I believe. And I think this is going to be what we're going to see going forward. You know, not a lot of walks, good amount of strikeouts, and probably get a good amount of wins just because the Yankees know how to score runs.
Yep, that's right. There's another one that kind of jumped at me a little bit, and that was the second half of the doubleheader for the Braves against the Nats. Juanscar Ynoa didn't factor into the decision, but struck out 5/5 scoreless against the Nats. Ball was flying out in the early part of the day in the first game of the doubleheader, and then it was 0-0 going into the seventh. The next one, you know, has kind of been the guy that has been overlooked. A lot of people talked about Bryce Wilson. Mike Soroka, of course, was supposed to return from an Achilles injury, but now he's got a setback because of his shoulder. You know, might actually find to carve out a spot in that rotation for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he has heat. He can throw, what was it, 99 miles per hour? And I forgot where I saw this, but I saw that all of his whiffs came on his slider. So, I mean, he's a guy that has a good slider, power fastball, power hard pitches in general. So, I mean, I don't know if that's going to last, you know, help him go deep into games consistently, but looks like a Dylan Lamet type of arsenal there.
Yeah, kind of out of the blue there. 13.4% swing strike yesterday. I like seeing that. Mm. You know, whiff rate of 24%. So that's pretty good. We'll see if he can build off of that. In the past, walks have been a little bit of a problem for him, and that's the one thing is to see what sort of command he can carry over from start to start. But looking for a streamer, looking for a pickup, and we all are. Maybe another guy. And plus, pitches for a good team. You always kind of like to build off of organizations too.
Yep, I agree.
I'm Jeff Erickson. We are talking with Micah Henry from Fantrax, from a lot of different places, actually. And I want to kind of go there next, Micah. You are doing a lot of different content contribution in a lot of different places. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at FanCentral1. FanCentral1, that's the number one. And I'm writing on Fantrax right now. I just started there a few months ago. I started out writing fantasy at newlifefantasy.com. Thanks to Mr. Starks Powell. He's the man.
Yes, he had him on last year.
He's a great guy, man. I owe him a lot to how I got started writing and got started on Twitter and stuff like that.
Cool.
And I'm also on RotoRanks, thanks to Heath Capps and Jorge Montes. Jorge, I'm sorry if I didn't say your last name the right way, but yeah, Jorge Montes. Thank you guys for these opportunities to, you know, put my work out there and just, you know, speak my mind about fantasy.
You know, I'll tell you what, this this community is really good at that, lifting others up. Even, you know, the last 25 years, you know, just been doing it for so long. It's always been that way. And maybe it's just because we're doing what we love. That leads to that sort of better attitude. But there's not too much Coke versus Pepsi. I mean, this last week in Twitter, notwithstanding, I've seen a lot of great stuff going on in the community. You know, Justin Mason runs TGFBI, you know, bringing all these people together. You know, in football, Scott Fishbowl is amazing. And, you know, it goes back. I did labor second year of Roto News. It was Roto News at the time, Roto Wire's existence, and they invited us to LABR, and that was like we were the young kids at the table back then, and it was pretty cool. And the thing is, if you do good work, people notice.
Yeah, I mean, and if just honestly, I think one of the biggest things is just being yourself. You know, people understand and see genuine people. They know what that looks like, and just be yourself. Just, you know, be kind. Do unto others as you had them do to you, and you'll be okay in this community. People are very accepting. I experienced that firsthand. Just putting, you know, my stuff out there and getting, you know, feedback here and there. It's just very accepting, very friendly, you know, positive community.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. How long have you been playing?
I've been playing since 2014. So what's that? 7 years now. This is my seventh season. Yep. And I started playing in points league. That was like my go to. You know, I didn't really hop into Roto until 2019. So I'm freshly into Roto, but points is like what I do. You know, that's like my, I don't know, my bread and butter.
You know, and the funny thing is, I don't play a whole lot of points. But all the studies of the fantasy industry suggest that that's almost half the people out there playing fantasy are playing points. I'm in Raz Slam. That's it. That's the only one I'm in, and that's best ball points. I'm not even in a normal points league, not in any head to heads. I don't know why. It's just I started baseball first, it was so long ago that that's what way it was played. I think points leagues became more popular in the last 10 years. A lot more people, like, they'd come over from football to do baseball, and it's like, let's find a way to make that point system. And, you know, more and more people are doing that now.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's just all about what you got introduced to. And I was just like, I don't know, just you know, the allure of, I don't know, your starter getting 30 points in the start and stuff like that. It's just kind of fun to see, you know, that 6 points from a home run, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
DFS obviously is tied to that too. I guess that's if you, and again, DFS is something that came into existence well after I had started. And so that's another layer of where I had to adapt.
DFS is something actually I trying to get my feet wet into, but I'm like, I don't know, I'm not too confident yet, but I think this is the year that I just gotta, you know, hop into DFS, just go all out.
Yeah, I hear you. And you know, the thing is, I play more. I'm trying to go from dabbling to playing every day and seeing what I can do. But just, you know, to do it right, you gotta put in the time, just like anything else.
Definitely, I agree.
So I know I'm kind of going a little bit out of order in my outline, but we're kind of doing the About Micah Henry segment here. How did you start? You said that Milan Starks Palace, who got you into writing for New Life there. How did you guys meet up? Was it on Twitter?
Yeah, it was on Twitter. I think I was just, you know, posting in random, you know, fancy content, fancy stats, something like that. And he noticed me, and he reached out to me and said, we'd like to write for my site. And I was like, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just, let's do it. Because, I mean, that was the first time, you know, anybody's ever said, would you like to, you know, obviously write for this site or put your work out there? So I was like, yeah, I jumped on it, and the rest is history. That's how, you know, yeah, it's awesome. And he just gave me, you know, basically free reign, just write, you know, write what you want. And I just, you know, wrote a couple articles about baseball. I think some, you know, I have a few about football in there as well. And yeah, just the rest is history from there.
That's fantastic. You said Phillies are your team. Are you born and raised Philly area?
Yep, we're born and raised. 23 years. Oh, I just said my age. Yep. If you got to this part, congratulations. Well, yes. Yeah, born and raised in Philadelphia. I'm a huge Phillies fan. I've been I started liking the Phillies when I started playing fantasy in 2014. That's when I really started getting into baseball in general, I guess you can say. So I just started, you know, liking baseball more and more. And yeah, so I've been a fan for about 7 years now of the Phillies.
That's really cool. You must be pretty happy about the start, 5-1. The offseason was looking a little sketchy at first, but then they turned around. They got the gang back together. Real Muto re-signed. Didi re-signed. The bullpen's better too. Alvarado looks like the real deal.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, I'm like, that's the biggest thing for us, man. We got that bullpen a little bit better. I'm just like, that's what we needed. That was like kind of like the thing that was holding us back last year. And now we got the offense clicking too. And then, and also now we have, you know, the 1-2-3 of Nola, Wheeler, Eflin doing well. I'm like, we have something here. We can keep winning.
Were you on Eflin this year?
100%. He was one of my favorite breakout picks, and I try to tell the people, because I just believed in the changes. I believed what he was doing, what the change that he made, and the success that followed, and I was all over him.
Yeah. If there's one thing you'd like to see them improve, what's that?
Scoring a little more runs. I mean, we're starting out a little slow in that you know category, but once guys like Hoskins, who just hit a home run yesterday, I believe, Baum, who also hit a home run yesterday, I believe, start to heat up and just start to get going, we'll be looking good.
Yeah, I think the outfield is, you know, the one part I look at, and I'm like, are they really going to go with Quinn and Haseley in center field all year?
I wonder if
that's something that they might try to improve at some point.
I think they will. I think it's something that we could address via trade to get one of these, you know, cheap guys that are maybe not doing much for another team or something like that. But I also, I mean, Quinn and Haseley, they're not the best, you know, bat the ball players, but they have, you know, good speed on the base pass, and especially Quinn, you know. So I mean, we'll see if they can stay, you know, stay out there and do their thing. But I'm not too confident in them either. But we'll see.
Yeah, we've got to let the season play out a little bit. We don't have the expanded playoffs this year, which I think is going to increase the number of players that get dealt by the trade deadline. Just fewer teams that have a realistic chance of making some form of the playoffs.
I agree. I mean, and it's just I don't know. The NL East it seems a lot more competitive this year as well. Just the amount of talent that's in this division, and the amount of talent that's healthy too.
That's right. That's absolutely right. All right. My guest here is Micah Henry. You can catch him at New Life at Fantrax, lots of other places. Quick note from one of our sponsors, Underdog Fantasy. Football season approaches, and you've got to check out these new best ball leagues on Underdog. Best ball is the ultimate test of your live draft skills, since there's no in-season management. That's right. Draft your team, and Underdog automatically credits you with your best-performing players every week. You don't need to play the waiver wire or worry about trades. It's just the draft. Who doesn't love drafting? In Underdog Best Ball, you can draft as many times as you want because you don't have to do any roster management, saving you loads of time. Underdog's Best Ball Leagues are drafting right now, starting at just $3. Now that the season started, Underdog also has daily fantasy and an all-new Pick'em game. Go download the Underdog app now and get in on some best ball before the football season starts. Enter promo code ROTOWIRE with your first deposit, and Underdog will honor a money-back guarantee during your first month. Love Underdog, or get your money back with promo code ROTOWIRE. Search Underdog in your app store and enter promo code ROTOWIRE. I'm with Micah Henry. Micah and I are both in TGFBI. We're not in the same league together. I'm actually in the same league with Milan, though, actually.
Nice.
In fact, we were drafting next to each other, 2 and 3, respectively. I was looking at your roster, and I noticed you went pretty heavy closers early. In fact, 3 closers early. Not just one, but you went Hendricks, Iglesias, and Kimbrel. And I imagine Kimbrel is probably 11th or 12th, maybe even a little bit later, because I think – closers maybe weren't as insanely priced as back in February as they are now, but is that your standard strategy?
That is. I mean, you know, as I said, I'm newly new to Roto, so I'm like, and I just came with the strategy of, all right, let me just get these scarce categories locked in and kind of, you know, zig and zag my way to other ones as the season goes on via, you know, Fab and the waiver wire, stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, I think I went maybe a little too closer heavy, because I took 3 closers within my first 10 picks in Hendricks, Iglesias, and Kimbrel. And I was thinking maybe I went a little too deep into it, but looking at my team right now, I'm like, yeah, maybe I did, but we'll see how it goes. I'm not too, you know, mad about it, but I do need my other guys to start hitting, other guys to start pitching well and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you know, the consequence is you're a little lighter on starting pitching, at least at the, towards the top.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have Nola, which is, so you got your ace. Didn't like that he only went four yesterday, but that had to be frustrating. But and Savali, I think you're going to like that for the rest of your year. Was he a target for you?
Yeah, Savali, he was one of my guys this year, one of my, you know, mid to late round starting pitching targets that I weighed on.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he came out hot, came out, you know, doing this thing.
Yeah. And you also got Sixto Sanchez, obviously got unlucky with that one.
Yeah.
I think you know, here's the thing. I have Sixto in a couple places too. And I saw all the notes saying about him being a little bit behind, how they might restrict the workload. I just think, though, when you do get them, they're going to be premium innings. So, you know, it sucks right now, especially with the shoulder. That's the thing that gets me worried. But I still, you know, wouldn't get too despondent about that.
Yeah, I mean, and then if you look at my bench, it's full of guys that just aren't doing anything. You know, Rogers hurt, Horner, and in the minors, Anton, the reliever, you know, Gilbert. I was kind of counting on guys, you know, like Sixto being up there doing their thing, and guys like, you know, Rogers actually being healthy, and then now just like and guys like, you know, Andrew Vaughn actually being in the lineup. So now I'm just like, it's just kind of hard. But I mean, I'm like, at least, you know, I have guys like Ozzie Albies who will heat up eventually. You know, Trout will keep hitting, but yeah,
that's right.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's right. So, and the thing is, you know, it's tough to stash guys. I get it, especially.
Yeah, it is. It's very tough. Mm-hmm, exactly. You just have to be like, all right, is it worth it just to keep this guy? Do you want somebody else to get this guy, and then they go off in that second half of the season? That type of mindset. I'm just like, I don't know. I might have to make some, you know, tough moves in the next couple of weeks, but for now, I'm just hoping somebody starts doing well.
Yeah, well, that's the thing we're all going to have to deal with. You know, we're all going to be put to the test this year. The way bullpens are being managed, like, I've got Jordan Hicks in a few places. You know, I see him pitching in the sixth inning, and it's, you know, he's pitching great. That's awesome. But, you know, can I live with his two or three innings in nine save situations? And what happens when the next injury comes by? And it's going to force me to make a tough decision at some point.
Right, and honestly, I just feel like that type of situation, worrying about saves on the wire, I was like, I don't know. I was like, let me not worry about that this year or any year, because it's just what I, you know, this is like, I guess, my strategy in general. But I just hate, you know, having to spend so much on a closer, and then somehow, some way, you get outbid by like a dollar after you bid like 201. It's just, I'm like, I don't want, because I dealt with that in a couple of leagues that last year. I you know, went off of my strategy and just, you know, kind of went rogue, I guess you can say. And that happened a little too much. I was like, I don't know. I don't want to. It's uncomfortable, but it can work out at the same time, you know.
Yeah, and again, know yourself, know your strengths, know where how you want to spend your time on. Kimbrel looked really good today, got a 5-out save, and he's looked good so far this season. So you got that going.
Exactly. If he can keep doing this thing, I think I'll be looking good with saves for sure.
Indeed. All right. So multiple people asked me to bring up Dylan Cease with you. We're going to talk about
your guy. Yes, my guy. Dylan Cease is just, I don't know, I guess we all just have that one guy where just like, this, I want to see this guy succeed. I think he's extremely talented, and that's just Dylan Cease for me. I mean, the stuff is all there. It's just about him being able to have full command of his stuff and full control of the strike zone.
Yeah, I mean, I love guys that, you know, have like great movement, great velocity. You know, and yet there's like one thing off. You know, it's like Dustin May. You know, he's got all this great stuff. Mm-hmm. He's not striking guys out. You throw that hard, eventually you're going to figure it out. Your secondary pitches get a little bit sharper. You're going to get strikeouts eventually. Same with that's why I have Alcantara in so many different places. That was an absolute target for me.
I mean, I guess I wasn't too up to speed on Alcantara. I really should have been, but yeah, you're spot on with that one. I mean, it's just. These guys that have these one thing that's wrong with them, and guys like Dustin May. I mean, I guess it's easier to go about getting more strikeouts than improving your overall command at the strike of of your pitches and stuff like that.
Right.
So I mean, with Cease, just about, I don't know, can he make the big change? And he showed a little bit of improvements in spring training, but the three walks in the first start of the season, we really want to see that come down. But as a positive, he did finish the start strong. He didn't, I think, over the last few innings, he only walked one guy or no guys. So, I mean, he finished strong. So, we'll see if he can carry that, and into his next start going forward.
You tweeted the other day about Ryan McMahon and said, are we still asleep on Ryan McMahon? This was after his three-homer game. And it's, you know, the thing about McMahon is the power has always been kind of readily apparent. It's just the question is, like, can he hit for average? What sort of consistent regular production can he do? You know, the one thing we've got going for him this year, after the Arenado trade, McMahon's going to play every day.
Yep. And that was honestly one of the, I think that was holding him back a little bit, you know, having that, that, you know, one, the trust in your manager, you're knowing your manager trusts you, and just being able to be in the lineup every day. You know, one night you mess up something. If you're an everyday player, you can go in the lineup the next day and fix that. If you're not an everyday player, you have to wait a couple of days and you kind of think about it. You might overthink, and then you might, you know, the couple of days later, you're like, all right, do this, and then you mess up. So I don't know. Being in the lineup every day just gives you, like, this mindset that you're going to be able to get better the very next day. And I think right now what we're seeing, you know, McMahon kind of build off that mindset, kind of just gain more confidence every day.
Yeah, and we've seen it with every young Rockies player. I feel like that's happening.
Yeah.
Now McMahon's playing every day, and it looks like, you know, Garrett Hampson's playing every day, and he's become a stolen base machine all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. You always knew the speed was there, but now he's actually turning that into to bags.
And I'm kind of disappointed I don't have any shares of Mr. Hampson. I don't know why. I don't know. I really should have just grabbed him in the late rounds when he was there, but I just kind of passed on him. But yeah, he's looking good right now for sure.
I don't have him anywhere either. I was a doubter, and
yeah,
because I just didn't think he could hit. And
yeah,
he still might not be able to. They're about to hit the road. This is, I think they're seven. They're playing a day game against the Diamondbacks as we speak, up 7-3 in the ninth. And, you know, they're about haven't hit the road just yet. We all know what happens to Rockies bats when they go on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. And this lineup might be even worse than, you know, probably will be even worse than past year or so.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. One more quick note from our sponsors. Baseball has always been America's pastime, but a close second is horse racing, and we've got the best way to get in on the action. StableDuel brings you a new way to play the races against your friends. Similar to what we only know in fantasy football and baseball, select your team on your stable of horses and compete against other stables for big money prizes. Watch your stable move up the leaderboard as your horses accumulate points based on where they finish the race. The app is free to download, and they offer free games so you can learn how to play at zero risk. Don't know anything about horse racing? Don't worry. The app has you all you need to know with free data on each horse's record, as well as a risk number, speed number, and value number for your best selections. This is the first game of its kind in horse racing, and you don't want to miss out. Download the StableDuel app now and get in on the game. Play, race, win with StableDuel. I'm Jeff Erickson. I'm here with Micah Henry. We're talking about some of Micah's guys. We talked to Dylan Cease, and we talked to Ryan McMahon already. Let's talk about some cheap starters. We were talking the other day. We've seen, so far this season, we've seen some pretty good outings from some cheap starters like Jose De Leon, Taylor Widener, Chris Flexen. Tanner Houck is one of my guys, and I see he's on your TGFBI roster as well. The only problem is I got impatient with Houck. He got, you know, because he got sent down early in spring training, and then when Eroy went on the IL, they had him do that start, and he looked really good.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they just want to be careful with his arm. Maybe they just want to preserve him. I don't know why they're not keeping him up. It's just really, like, I mean, at this point, he's probably their third best starter. I don't know why. I don't know why they're not keeping him up. But I'm willing to be patient with him, you know. And I'd say if you have him too, just stash him away if you can, if you have the space. But you know, the talent is there. He just needs the opportunity.
Yeah, 10 Ks already on this young season in 6 innings.
Yep.
We like that, yep. Right? Yeah, that's something you'd want to have. That's something that would interest me. But, but the thing is, that might provide an opportunity to roster him later. That's the one thing that we might be able to take advantage of. So there is that. But Jose De Leon, 9 Ks in his first start for the Reds. Long time coming for him. He's been a prospect for a long time, been hurt for a while, was first a Dodger, then with the Rays. Now the Reds, they seem to be able to turn straw into gold. They keep on finding guys on the cheap and turning them into really good pitchers.
And he has some nasty stuff. Yes, some nasty secondary stuff. So I'm like, this could. I mean, I see like those 9 strikeouts. So I'm like, that's probably real. I mean, that's not like a fluke or something. So as long as I don't know if he'll be able to limit runs, you know, consistently going forward. But I see a guy that as long as he starts, he'll be able to, you know, get a good amount of strikeouts.
Indeed. When you're looking at these starters, what's one thing you're looking for? Are you looking for repertoire? Are you looking stat-wise? Is there a key thing that you're looking for when you're trying to find some value late in drafts or off the waiver wire?
In points, I'm really just looking for a guy that has talent and that will limit runs. You know, I don't try to, you know, complicate it with points. But in Roto, I kind of try to bounce it off what I already have. You know, if I need a guy that has, like, you know, that can get my whip down and control my whip a little bit if it's getting a little out of hand, or if I need more strikeouts, those are the guys I'll target. You know, so I guess you can say it depends on my team situation in regards to Roto,
indeed,
or category.
Taylor Widener had a pretty good start, and he went after the Padres. I thought that was impressive too, because this was before Tatis's injury. This was on Sunday. You know, the Padres had kind of ripped through the Arizona starters 1-3, and Widener came in there and, you know, attacked them and shut them down.
And he had a pretty decent minor league career. I forget how many innings he pitched, but I think it was over 300. Solid K minus B ball. I just feel like he could be a guy that, if, you know, keeps doing this thing and they keep getting opportunities, he'll be able to be a solid fantasy contributor.
Yeah, indeed. I think you're right about that. Last thing I want to ask you was the Ohio bullpens. Yesterday was kind of a complicated day for both. Amir Garrett got the first save on Monday. It was a little shaky. Lucas Sims has had two good outings, including yesterday. Garrett really struggled yesterday after an amazing spring training, albeit late spring training, but really struggled in particular with his fastball.
Yeah. And I don't know. This is one of those guys that's on social media a lot, talking a lot. So maybe I'm serious. My voice is cracked there, but maybe he needs to just focus on his game a little bit more, you know, cause he David Bell never said he's the closer. He never named a closer.
Right.
So, I mean, he really shouldn't feel, you know, too comfortable, you know, being that guy. You have Sims there, and now you have, Sean Doolittle, right? He pumping 96 miles per hour on his fastball. So, I mean,
he come from? He got it all.
Yeah, it's fun to see, but now you're like, all right, is this guy going to be, you know, one of those waiver wire heroes coming just out of nowhere and getting most of the saves? It's possible. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I saw it, and he got cuffed around a lot early in spring training. You're like, is he even going to make the team? And then he kind of quietly got a little bit better, and then he lights out. Now, let's see it against someone other than the Pirates.
I agree.
Hate to beat up on the Pirates, but, you know, because it's unfair to their fans their team, it's just so cruel the way they tear that team apart. But
it's pretty sad.
It is. It is. And then Sims looked good in his first two outings.
Yeah, and honestly, Sims might end up maybe not if it's not Doolittle. Sims might end up being the guy that she wanted all along, and he just has that nasty breaking stuff. I remember, I think it was either last year or 2019, he had some start where he was like throwing a no hitter or something like that, or just going crazy. And he had I was watching the start. I'm like, who is this Lucas Sims guy? You know, we fast forward to now, he's just, you know, looking good in the bullpen. So I think he's a talented arm that could make impact either in the pen or if they want to potentially give him a run in the rotation if they need some depth. I think he could do a good job there too.
All right, closer for both the Indians and for the Reds, who's it going to be? Who's going to get the most saves for each team?
I'm going to say it for the Reds. I think it's going to end up being Sims. I think he'll end up getting the most saves.
Okay.
And for the Indians, it's going to be Class A.
All right.
I'm sticking with my guess with Class A. I think he has the best stuff in that pen.
Yeah, he looked really good the other day, and, you know, he came in the eighth, but it was a 3-3 game at the time too, and so you know, Whitgren got the chance to get the save later on, or it was 2-2, I should say, it was tied, but Whitgren got the save, but only because Class A had the tough high leverage inning before that. There, I agree with you on that. Every podcast, when I have a new special guest, I ask for questions. Are you ready to take some Twitter questions?
For sure, yeah. I saw there are a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to go.
All right. Aaron Pags, Fantasy Triage. I've been on their show before. He asks, is it true the McRib is just the breakfast sausage patty formed into that shape and covered in barbecue sauce?
I wouldn't know because I've never touched that thing. I've never touched that abomination of what they call a rib sandwich. I've never had it. I never will.
It's probably 20 years ago when I last tried one. I don't know on that one. All right, more substantive question from Billy Hayes. Yes, do you believe the uptick in a number of pitchers' velocity, so much as 3 to 4 miles an hour, has to do with the change in approach, uncalibrated speed reading devices, or the new ball?
You know, I'm kind of on the fence about how exactly this new ball is changing things. So I don't think it's that. I think it just might be certain guys learning to throw harder. You know, it might just be that simple.
Yeah.
So I feel as the games go on, we'll get more, you know, more understanding of maybe if something else is the case, something else is not. But for now, I just think it's just, you know, guys throwing harder.
I think you might be right. I mean, I think a lot of it's training. Regimens. Yeah. I mean, how many times do we hear about people going to Driveline or similar places? Driveline's like the most notorious, or I'm going to say notorious. That's not the right word. Noteworthy has gotten the most name recognition of places like that. But it's become a point of emphasis.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you see nowadays you have so many different avenues to improving your whatever you have to work on, your bat speeds, your velocity, whatever. You know, 10, 20 years ago, that just wasn't the case, you know, but now there's so many programs. There's definitely a lot more avenues to, you know, becoming a better player or improving one of your skills, you know.
All right. We've got an either or from you from JLD. He goes, Jorge Polanco or Jazz Chisholm?
Give me Chisholm. He's you know, off to the hot start, but I think he has, you know, more upside for, you know, a 2020 season.
Well, yeah, and if you're looking for guys that fill your last roster spot, you're looking for guys that can make, you know, make the leap. You know, and
yep.
I think Polanco is kind of a defined sort of guy, whereas Chisholm could be huge still.
Yep, agreed.
That's the way I look at it there. So I'm with you on that one there. Let's see. We already talked about Kenley. Who do you like? Who do you like best in the Dodgers bullpen if Kenley is cooked?
That's a great question. I'm leaning Blake. I just feel like they'll give him a few opportunities, you know, for now. Once Gradwell comes back, I think he'll be one of those guys that gets opportunities. But I think it'll be Blake for now. If something happens to Kenley right now, I think it'll be Blake that gets opportunity.
Yeah, I think so too. I think like trying to pitch the one other time in the eighth, and then when it went to extra innings, it had to be Knebel because he was like kind of the last guy. But we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, and then finally, Will asks, people want to know, what's Micah's favorite Twitter moment so far?
Yes.
Interaction.
I should have thought about this question more because there's been so much. I guess it was when Stephon Diggs actually had a break. Yeah, I'm going a little to a different sports here.
That's all
but
good.
Different sport here. But I think it was when Stephon Diggs, you know, had his great season. And I was just something I could look back on that because I had him in a bunch of leagues. I was just, you know, put that out there, and then somebody put, they already knew. Then it started, you know, getting a little recognition for, I don't know. I guess it just feels good to see that, you know, you caught something, and then months later you're like, yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Awesome. I like hearing it. Once again, Micah, tell everybody where they can follow you, where they can read you, where they can listen to you.
Yeah. So again, you can follow me at on Twitter at Fantasy Central One. That's the number one. And you can find my work on Fantrax on newlifefantasy.com. And at RotoRanks, and I write about football here and there. Not right now because it's baseball season, but you know. And I also write about baseball. And coming up for baseball, I think next month, early next month, I start a trend on a series on Fantrax about trends and about, you know, analyzing different trends that are going on week to week and stuff like that. So I guess I'll kind of be taking what I'm doing with the threads and kind of just going a little deeper in them, you know, in article form.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Hey, Micah, thank you so much for jumping on with us, sharing your wisdom, sharing your time with us. Had a lot of fun.
It was awesome, man. Thanks for having me on. I actually hope, you know, really hope we can do this again, you know, another time.
Sure. Absolutely. Make sure to give Micah a follow. Make sure to read him. And make sure to, while you're at it, please subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. We really do appreciate it. We'd love to hear your feedback. And, you know, it was overwhelming seeing the feedback yesterday, even when I just announced that Micah was coming on. So really appreciate that from everyone, all the great comments and questions. That'll do it for today. coming up tomorrow, we got Todd Zola, Clay Link, going to do two starters there, all sorts of news for the weekend. Make sure to tune in. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day.